Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Samantha Clark from Lexington, Kentucky, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning for the 3rd of January, 2011. This is episode 46, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, good morning, Sammy Sam. We're here, and we're I have a little opener I wanted to play for you this morning, so enjoy.
Happy New Year.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Well, good morning, Sammy Sam, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. That's quite a fitting montage, Glenn. What with technology and everything else, it certainly is a Monday morning. But I'm so thrilled to be joining you today.
Yes, it's really fun to be working with you again. It's been a while, and I've missed you.
It's a very auspicious start to the new year. I hope we get to do it a lot more often.
Well, good. And you know what? We want to mention that Janie's out today. She'll be back again tomorrow. But we have the pleasure
Hello,
of having Samantha Clark with us today. So, and you're going to tell us coming up here in a little bit all about you. You just came back from a multi-week trip back to the homeland, to England, and you're going to tell us a little bit about your horsey adventures there. And I understand you had quite a few.
I did. I had such fun. We just made it. We got out of here. The ice melted, so we were able to leave in the afternoon, and we made it into Heathrow just before they shut everything down for the snow that came and blanketed England. So we were pretty lucky to get over there. Not like poor Lindsay White of Succeed, who got stuck. I think she was stuck in New York for almost a week. So
well,
I'm
she
thankful
was not
that we
happy about it either.
I know, bless her heart. So I'm very thankful that we made it over there. And yes, we had a great time. I'm happy to tell you all about it.
Well, I think we're having some technical difficulties this morning. So Samantha and I, instead of being in on our usual way where you could hear us a little bit better, we're actually on the phone. We're going to try and remedy that during the show today and see if we can fix that problem. We are not sure that we'll be able to take callers today. As a matter of fact, it kind of looks like we won't until we get this problem situated, and we apologize for that. But we'll do the best we can here. We do have some terrific guests lined up, and I think Jennifer is there.
I'm here.
So what's on the plan for today?
Oh, on the today. Well, you know, if the phone line is down, which we think it is, that just means our Facebook folks are just going to have to be extra specially busy today. And
I think
we can always count on our Facebook folks to keep the comments coming, hey?
Yeah, that's correct. And I have Facebook open. I'm going to keep an eye on them as we go
All
through
right.
the show today, as usual.
Keep an eye on those folks. So on today's show, we will be talking with Patty Gruber, owner of Padre, this year's Black Horse, no pun intended, surprise winner at Dressage at Devon. And then we will be speaking with Jackie Baker. She will be here for her first installment of 2011 of Baker's Blog Spot. So we're going to catch up on what's hot and what's not in the blogosphere. And after that, who knows what the heck's going to happen, because it's a New Year's free for all.
Now you're making me nervous. Everything else I've been able to say, but now you're making me nervous.
Yeah, we have Samantha's first time on the air here, and all the technology went haywire. But you know what? That's what live radio is all about, and we're sticking with it. You know, Samantha, I thought a great way to start the new year would be to take a listen to the cutest thing you're ever going to hear. This is the cutest thing ever. And it was done by Helena B., who is my co-host over there at Stable Scoop. Her daughter, Gracie, I think is 7 or 8 years old. And, well, she'll tell you the story. I'm going to play you something that's out of Stable Scoop from last week. It's only about 2 minutes long, but it is the cutest thing, and I thought it would be the perfect way to start the new year. So take a listen, and I think everybody will appreciate this.
Well, again, our thanks to Omega Alpha. I think this next little segment is going to make the folks at Omega Alpha proud. I know it makes me very proud. And I think it got Glenn and Jen a little choked up,
yeah,
too. We had, in talking about what we wanted to give our own horses for Christmas, Grace and I had a discussion. Now, Grace is my daughter. She will be 8 years old in January. And she's a very compassionate little kid. She adores animals. She has that I don't know, that understanding about them, that appreciation for what they are. So she says, you know, Mama, I want to give something really special to Zeke and Pi for Christmas. So I thought, well, why don't you give them something from your heart. Maybe you can make them something. So she decided that she was going to make them a poem. And this is an original poem by Grace. She wrote it, and she is going to share it with you. So we have that coming up. This is little Gracie.
Zeke and Pi. Zeke is copper like a penny. Pi is brown like a bear. Pi is young, but Zeke is old. They are not cold. They are warmer than anything in the world. Pi is silly. Zeke is nice. They do not bark. They do not bite. But they whinny, snicker, and snort when their grain comes by the court. Zeke is mine. Pi is mom's. They are much bigger than my palms. Pi is scared of a cat. Zeke would never be afraid of that. Zeke is 17 this year. Pi will be just 8. So happy holidays, my friends. Having you is great.
Isn't that the cutest thing ever?
That is adorable.
Sniffle, sniffle.
I just had to play it for everybody here in the morning show. That was the cutest thing. So we have a great show planned for today, and we got some things coming up. But I wanted to take a break here. We're going to try and solve some of these issues we're having with the callers and things like that. So we're going to play a little Templeton Thompson to get the day started off. And it's called Beautiful Day, which I thought was absolutely appropriate considering the technology problems we've had already this morning. So Templeton's going to help us solve those, and we'll be right back after Templeton Thompson and Beautiful Day.
Tim Thompson and Beautiful Day. It's a great song. And we got, I think we got our problems fixed. Are you there, Samantha?
Can you hear me? Are we back in business?
We're back in business. It's so nice to hear you back the normal way and not on the phone. Yay! So I think, Templeton helped us fix our problems. And she wasn't even here.
She's a miracle worker. We love Templeton. She always puts me in a good mood.
That's true. Right. That is true. So tell us what you had some horsey adventures when you took your trip to England over the holidays. Tell us a little bit about those.
Always. Well, luckily, my mother was very kind. She used to take me to Olympia, which is the London International Horse Show, which happens every Christmas time. And it was one of my favorite things as a young girl to go there every year. And she got tickets to my children and I. And three nights in a row I went, which was not overkill at all. You can't get enough. And the first day, my daughter is pony mad, but my son, who's seven, was whining before we went. I don't want to go. I don't even like horses. Why would I want to go? And I said, well, just come the first night and try it out. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to come back the second night. And within 5 minutes, he was sitting on the edge of his seat. I love it. I can't wait to come back tomorrow because there's something for everyone. It's such a fantastic spectacle. There was, I think we went, there was a show jumping class, first of all, and then there's the Grand National, the Shetland Pony Grand National. There's dog agility, which is fantastic. There's, they race around and you can see the stopwatch. There's a big screen in the middle of, that you can watch the stopwatch going. And it's just fantastic. You get so into it and the kids love it. There was the Ukrainian Cossacks who are crazy, lying on their backs on the horses as they gallop around the arena bareback and standing up on top of the horses and doing like cheerleading stuff on top. I mean, you thought vaulting was exciting, Glenn.
I read an article about them. There were a couple of articles I read about them and people just were absolutely enthralled by them at that show.
Yeah, and then they had the Household Cavalry. They did a musical ride, and that was amazing. And then actually one of the nights we were there, the first night we were there, they retired Spartacus, one of the Queen's drum horses, retired after 16 years in service. And he was beautiful, a great big coloured horse, and it was very moving. And I looked over, and Harry was crying his eyes out. I mean, Mum, we were all crying anyway, but I didn't expect to see Harry crying. So that was, I mean, there was barely a dry eye in the house, so that was very moving. And the musical ride was, they make the horses lie down, you know, two of the horses lie down and all the other horses gallop around them and do the musical ride, and then they get up, and so that was terrific. Then they had some more show jumping. Then they had, at the end, they did a little sort of vignette from War Horse. And it was just, everything was fantastic. And in between times, you can go, there's amazing trade stands, amazing food. Oh, my God, we saw Pippa Funnel signing her children's book. So Lily was just, for once, tongue-tied. So that was a thrill for her. And we bought her the new annual. We bought her the paperback, but Pippa was trying to sell the annual. Oh, get the annual. That's quite nifty. I'm like, no, it's all right. Thank you. I didn't want to say in front of Lily, but that was already in her stocking. So it was a terrific night. And then we went back the next night and did it all over again. And it was just as good. And the show jumping, I mean, it's top. We missed the dressage was earlier in the week. They have World Cup dressage. And, of course, Laura Betchel-Simon was there. Edward Gow was there. All the people we saw at the World Games, Glenn. I mean, it's top, top class competition, but I missed the dressage, and also I missed the Thursday night. They did actually parade all the World Equestrian Games British winners, so we missed that, which is a shame because that would have been fun. But we were there for the show jumping nights, and it's world class show jumping, and that was really exciting to watch because the arena is quite small and you sit really close to the edge even if you're way up in the seats at the back. So It was really exciting. We saw lots of really top-class show jumping and all nationalities. I think there was one jump-off we saw. There were 17 countries represented.
Wow.
So it was wonderful. Wow. It's absolutely fantastic.
That's one of the cool things about the shows in England and Europe is you can get all the different nationalities because they're a heck of a lot closer than you see over here in the United States. So you see a bigger variety over there than you do here.
Yeah. And I'd forgotten, you know, I mean, it was one of those things, it was such a relief to come back. I had such wonderful memories of it, and it's one of the few things that you come back, and it's not as good as, but even better than I'd remembered. It was just fantastic. And the one thing I'd forgotten that was different was everything, the show jumpers now, you know, they all wear those helmets that are sort of so slick and modern. And some of them have their nationalities along the front. And they all wear different jackets now. They're all sort of very chic, especially the French, and different colors. It used to be so old-fashioned. They all used to wear those sort of navy or black jackets and all look very similar. But now they're very different. You know, you can tell immediately, like the French girls came in their tan and all looked amazing. And the Brits have a little bit of catching up to do. They're not the most stylish as a rule, but they jumped well, and it's still some of the same ones. John and Michael Whitaker were amazing still, but it was just wonderful. I had so much fun. I just can't wait to go back again next year.
Well, there you go. You know, it sounds like so much fun. Jennifer, we're just going to have to go with her. We're going to have to hide in her suitcase next year to go see this.
Ship us over in a carton. Yeah.
And it's amazing to see the different styles. You can definitely see, like, the Germans have a definite style of riding, and then there was actually, I think she was Portuguese, or she rode without a bridle. Like you see sometimes, I've seen Anne Kaczynski do it sometimes. She just wore that little lip shank or a bit. Have you seen that before? And she made the jump off a couple of nights.
Yeah,
it was amazing. So that was really interesting, especially those tiny arenas. And she did pretty well. And then there was, I think, and funnily enough, she's called Penelope. I can't want to say Penelope, but she's called Penelope Le Prevost, a French girl, very, very stylish show jumper. She had one of those tiny little whips that the children use with the little hand on the end, the really tiny short ones. She just used one of those the whole time, which I thought was sweet. And in the prize giving, they all came in for the award ceremony. They swapped, which Lindsay White would not approve of because I know she's the founder of RidersForHelmets.com, but they all swapped their hard hats for Santa hats.
Aww.
And actually, that was the one time, I know, but that was the one time that the horses misbehaved most, because there was all the cheering and the spotlights and they all had to stand still in a line next to each other. And that was when the horses were all sort of misbehaving most, which is probably when accidents were most likely to happen.
But, you know what that means then? That just means Charles Owen is going to have to come out with a helmet that looks like a Santa cap for those occasions.
Yeah. Good, yeah, Charles Owen should get on that.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you had a blast, and then didn't you go watch? Now, the other thing that happened while you were there is they had one of the bigger snowstorms that they've ever had before. So
amazing sledding. My son was absolutely inspired by the Cossacks and has learned how to stand on the toboggan like the Cossacks and sled downhill and then bail out at the last minute by jumping off.
We used to do that. I remember doing that when I was a kid, too. And it used to be the big snow pile that you jumped into at the end. And if you didn't, you went into the main road. In our town, they closed one of the streets, and you'd end up in one of the main roads if you didn't jump off in time.
We had a stream at the bottom of the field with barbed wire fence. So that was a good incentive to jump off.
Yeah,
you really didn't want to hit that. Jennifer and I have had experience with hitting fences at the bottom of Toboggan Hill.
Yeah, the timing is everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, this half hour is sponsored by Omega Alpha. We want to thank Omega Alpha for being a title sponsor here on the Horses in the Morning show. Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations to enhance equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest and natural ingredients that are available. They have all kinds of products at Omega Alpha to help your horse out, from products that help the blood, the coat, the gut, and the digestive tract. They can help you with energy, with immunity, with your joints, with kidneys, with liver. All these kinds of things are there to help your horse out. And you can find them at omegaalpha.ca. They're out of Canada, and they are a terrific company. Jennifer and I have had the opportunity to spend time with them at different shows and to really chat with them. And Dr. Gordon Chang is the leader of that company, and he really does know what he's talking about. So if you're looking for a supplement, if you're looking for something to enhance your horse in any which way, check out omegaalpha.ca first, and they will provide you with the all-natural products that you need to accomplish those goals you're looking for your horse. in 2011. Well, we are in a position now to take calls, it looks like. So if you'd like to give us a call at 347-637-3238, if you would like to say hi to Samantha, you can do that. She's here with us for the entire show today.
Yay.
That's 347.
And Omega Alpha sponsors lots of eventers.
Yes, they do, as a matter of fact.
Big news for U.S. eventing is that Bobby Costello and Philip Dutton have applied as for the position of chef to keep and eventing technical advisor for the U.S. team.
So what do you think about that?
I think it's I think the most interesting thing about that is what will happen if they get the jobs. What will happen? Will Philip Dutton still be available to ride? I mean, I'm assuming he wouldn't be.
You know, that's the thing that jumped out at me is, you know, we haven't heard anything, have we, about him wanting to retire from competing. So, and maybe he wouldn't, I don't know, but you're right. I don't know if he could keep competing and still be in that role too.
And it's after the Olympics 2012, so maybe by then he would be ready, but who knows. So call us and tell us what you think. Let's talk about it.
All right, that's 347-637-3238. And we're going to be up with our first guest here in a little bit. We're going to be talking about Mustangs and dressage, which is not a combination that we usually hear about. And then later on in the show, I'm excited, and it's too bad Jamie's not here today because you know how she feels about Zenyatta. She's a Zenyatta freak. And we're going to be talking to Frankie Lobato, our friend and former jockey who was terrific in his role as a jockey. And he's going to be here talking about Zenyatta and Horse of the Year because, of course, we're expecting next week, I think, is when they usually announce Horse of the Year. So we're going to be talking to Frankie about Zenyatta's chances and is it realistic. I know all of us in the horse world and outside the horse world have become enthralled with Zenyatta, want to see her win that just because of the contribution she's made to horses in general. You and I have not talked about that. What are your thoughts on that, Samantha?
Oh, I think she's definitely Horse of the Year. And I actually took a long walk yesterday with a friend of mine who works at Lane's End, and we were discussing her. And she said that Zenyatta is now being turned out with a little grey filly who, she said, you know, was a pretty expensive yearling. And I quote her, said, she can talk shop. They can talk shop together, that this yearling, you know, isn't chopped liver. And Zenyatta, she said, just, you know, it's all about Zenyatta all the time. Zenyatta pushes the poor little grey thing out of the way. The peppermints are for me. They're for me. It's all Zenyatta all the time. It's a Zenyatta show. That she said she is amazing. And my friend sees some pretty amazing horses at Lane's End all the time. But she said it's the Zenyatta show, totally.
So she truly is the queen out at Lane's End even?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Deservedly.
Well, we're going to talk. We'll get more into Zenyatta, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. But first up, we have our first guest of the day. We have Patty Gruber, and she's going to tell us, you know, and I'm really excited to learn how you take a Mustang from the ranges of the West at 1 year old and turn it into a Reserve Grand Champion Stallion at Dressage at Devon 2010. I really want to know how you do that and how she came to acquire this spectacular-looking horse. So I have Patty on the line here. Hi, Patty, and welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello and good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks.
I'm so excited.
Me.
You know, when we saw that you did this, I said we have to have you on the show because this is something I don't know that it's ever been done before, has it? That a grand champion stallion at the dressage at Devon was a Mustang?
Yes. Actually, Padre was the first Mustang to qualify and compete at dressage at Devon. There was a famous Mustang named J.B. Andrews who a couple years ago went and did a musical, freestyle, but did not actually compete. So Padre is the first, and it's, I'm not even sure exactly how it happened to walk in and win the four-year-old and older in-hand-only stallion class. Absolutely was the perfect start to the day, and then to be named Reserve Grand Champion Stallion overall, I don't think I could have asked for a better experience or a better outcome.
I'll tell you what, he is absolutely stunning. We're looking at the pictures of him here after he got his championship. First of all, you had him turned out so well, and he's just a stunning horse. I love the forelock.
You know, it's funny because everybody has an opinion about his hair. I keep his forelock very long and very full, and I honestly actually cut his bridle path back about half an inch further than I probably should because I get so many comments on it. And it's a lot of work to take care of that amount of hair. I have very short hair now because he has very long hair, and I have to spend hours just brushing and grooming and products and taking care of it. But every judge, actually, that we've ever stood in front of has remarked about how great his forelock and his tail is.
It is. It is true. Well, let's start at the beginning, though. How did you come to acquire him?
Padre was adopted out of the wild by Dr. Rick Redden of the International Equine Podiatry Center in Versailles, Kentucky, as a yearling. Doc had been doing a study in conjunction with the Bureau of Land Management on the hooves of wild horses right as they were removed from the range. And in the time that he spent out in Nevada doing that, he decided to bring three horses back to his center in Kentucky. And I had brought horses down there over the years that had navicular problems for him to help them, and he would let us go down and see the Mustangs. And as a child, I saw them in the wild, so to be able to see them as an adult, even though they weren't truly in the wild anymore, it was just amazing to be able to watch them across the fence and see what their mannerisms are. And I used to joke with Doc all the time that if he ever wanted to see what one of his Mustangs could really do, to let me know. And it was a joke that I never in a million years thought he would actually take me up on. And one day his assistant called me and asked if I wanted Padre. And to be honest with you, I was recently divorced. I had two dogs, two cats, a couple other horses. You know, so taking on another horse was the last thing that I needed to be doing. But everything in me said I had to say yes. And
you did?
I did. My brain didn't even think. I had a wonderful Western trainer in Kentucky put 30 days on him so he would learn how to live in a barn and get used to the fact that he was going to start working for a living. And I brought him home 30 days later, rode him in a clinic after three rides at home that first week, showed him 3 weeks later, and it's been just a onslaught of things that we've done ever since.
Wow. And was dressage at Devon, was that always in your plans, or did that happen by accident? How did that happen?
It was completely by accident. I actually had the best things happened by accident. I had actually started the season this year by going to Equine Affair for the Bureau of Land Management with Padre because he is an ambassador for the Bureau of Land Management. And after that, we actually came home for 2 days and went and rode with Stefan Peters at the Midwest Horse Fair as a demo horse and rider for clinics that he was giving. And I came home from all that, and that was all within the first 2 weeks of April. And I went, oh, my gosh, I need a break. I need to do something else. I'm going to be burnt out, and the season hasn't even started yet. So I started working with a Western trainer to teach me how to do halter. And I was just looking for something else to do that wasn't going to be the stress of training. And he taught us how to trot in hand, and we actually went to an American Buckskin Registry Association show as our first show. And he was the winner of the age stallion class, and he was reserve grand champion stallion overall. And so we went to two of those, and then I had made the comment to a friend of mine who's a dressage judge that I was doing this stuff, and she kind of gave me the, well, what are you doing at those shows? Why don't you show them in hand? And I said, well, I don't know how to show dressage in hand. And I had a friend of mine who had scribed for it come over and show me the pattern once. And lo and behold, we went out, and he scored a 75 in his first in-hand test. And wow. I had no idea if that was good or bad even. To be honest, I was so unknowledgeable about dressage in hand. And they're like, oh, you're qualified for the championships in this region. And I was like, all right, how exciting. So I called my judge friend on the way home. She goes, well, you're going to have to set your sights on dressage at Devon next year if he got a 75. That's such a great score. And I knew very little about dressage at Devon except for that it's the most prestigious dressage show in the country. So I just thought it was so out of reach. I sent them an email and said, hey, I'm looking to find out if this qualifying score from this year would count till next year because it's already past the closing date. And they sent me an email back and said, hey, if you got a 75 this year, we'd love you to come this year. So after having a minor panic attack about how I was going to raise the money to go halfway across the country with my Mustang, we put together a fundraiser and did a little press locally with a bunch of the tack shops and different places that we work with, and ended up pulling into Devon just on time.
But now, have you actually ride Padre also and show him? I think did I hear up to third level at this point?
Yeah, we're actually schooling third and fourth level movements right now. The biggest hurdle that we have is I have not personally taught a horse third and fourth level movements, so I have the most patient trainer that I work with. His name is Andre Huffler. He's from Germany originally, and my horse absolutely adores him, and he understands stallions. So Andre and I work together on a regular basis, so he can not only teach me what I need to teach the horse, but then Padre's coming along with it. So we have a little too much fly in or flying change, which tends to be my spur tends to get him as we're leaving the ground. And I'm a little weak to my half pass to the right, but outside of that, he's doing everything I'm asking him to do.
And just from the sounds of it, it doesn't seem like there'd be any difference. The fact that he's a Mustang, I mean, it sounds like he's amazing. I mean, what a fantastic story.
You know, he is a little different being a Mustang, I think. Honestly, I haven't worked with Mustangs in the past, but I do know in the time that I've worked with him, I've really learned how to read him and to listen to what he's telling me. There are certain things that he's very obvious about. Like if I get a little heavy, my right side tends to be my problem side. If I get a little heavy on my right spur, he'll actually stop and he'll turn around and look at me and he'll pick up his right foot and he'll swat at my right spur. And I kid you not, he does this all the time.
You're doing it wrong, lady.
I know that I'm heavy. I know. Yeah. He's like, all right, knock it off. I got the point. Literally. So there are things that he's made me more aware of that I take to the domestic horses that I work with also. I spend a lot of time with Padre playing with him as well as riding him. I will free lunge him in the arena, and we work a lot on our body language, which I think was why it's so easy for he and I to do the in-hand together, because he follows
me.
So that's something that I've made into a game for him. And thank goodness he is wonderfully well-behaved. He doesn't bite. He doesn't kick. He's been turned out with geldings, but I had to pull him out of there because he kept getting beaten up. I ride him with mares and heat. So I basically treat him like he's a normal horse, except for I have to be careful because he tends to be a little smarter than the average horse, and I'll teach him something, and if I don't teach him right, then I have to go back and completely unteach him something, because it takes once for him to go, okay, I know exactly what you're looking for.
And tell us a little bit about him being an ambassador for the land conservation.
He's an ambassador for the Bureau of Land Management. He started that last year. And I had attended a fundraiser for the HARPS organization, which is our local hoofed animal rescue. And they were having a fundraiser for the Cloud Foundation. So I went to the fundraiser.
Oh, my daughter's a huge fan of Cloud.
Yes. Yep, you know, it's amazing how much his story has touched kids. So I went to the fundraiser, and I was talking to one of the women who runs HARPS, and she has a Mustang Stallion also, and they asked if I would write an article for their HARPS Strings newsletter. So I wrote the article, and they in turn had passed it on to a contact they had at the Bureau of Land Management, and I just got to know the contact through the Bureau of Land Management. That way he came down and met my horse after I had asked him to come and give a speech about Mustangs at my farm so people would learn what's going on with them in the wild, what the Bureau of Land Management is doing to help. And he saw Padre, he saw what we were doing, and asked if we would become ambassadors for the Bureau of Land Management. So we've traveled the equine affair for them. Last year we did an 8-minute musical freestyle. We spent time in the breed stall where people can come up and pet him and get to know the horses and actually talk to me about him specifically. And then we did a breed parade for them. And then again this April we'll be going back again to do that And it's really exciting to go out and talk to people because there are so many people, and this is going to sound crazy, but there are so many people that don't realize that there are still Mustangs in the wild.
Yeah, a lot of them, actually.
Yeah.
And that leads me to something I wanted to bring up on the show today, and I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Tournament of Roses parade on Saturday, but Madeline Pickens had paid for a Mustang float that was probably one of my favorite floats of the whole day, and we got a lot of comments from our listeners on Facebook about it. I don't know if you got to see that, but it was a great float.
You know, I did not get a chance to see that. I've been reading up a little bit more on what she's doing, and, you know, anybody who is trying to help the Mustangs, I think, is doing a great job. You know, it's so hard because there's so many organizations trying to do the right thing, and most of them can only get so much accomplished, where I think the Mustangs, from my perspective, I try to be Switzerland. I want to help everybody.
Right.
You know, I don't care if it's the Cloud Foundation, the Bureau of Land Management, Madeline Pickens. If you're trying to help Mustangs and there's something I can do to help, you know, I'm there if I can do it. You know, I think what she's trying to do is a great thing. Anybody, like I said, who can raise awareness, kudos to them. And she certainly has the ability with the context she has and the finances she has access to really make a difference, and I hope she does.
So I'm looking at Padre's picture of you accepting your award at Devon, Patty.
Can you see the mascara running all the way down my face?
No, it's been copied and pasted so many times it's gotten fuzzy now.
Okay.
But... And it looks like Padre gets to keep all the hair in his ears. Is that true?
Yes.
Yay!
Yep. Padre gets to keep as much hair as I can keep on him. You know, honestly, he's a dressage horse. You know, they don't look at your ears and go, oh, my gosh, he's got hair in his ears. If
right.
he gets a little Uncle Fester hair that starts sticking out a little bit, then I'll trim that down.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I show him at the American Buckskin Registry shows, I keep the hair in his ears. You know, he was a wild horse. He's not used to having bugs in there. I trail ride him. I show him. I just want him to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, when you go to these different kinds of shows, and you do a lot of different kinds of stuff with Padre, he's not that dressage horse is bad, but he does Western stuff. You know, as you said, he trail rides. When people meet Padre for the first time, what would you say people would guess he is most frequently? Because I doubt, especially at dressage shows, people don't guess Mustang. What do they guess he is?
You know, it's really funny. For a long time, I got a lot of, oh, he's an Andalusian, he's a Lusitano, or a cross of the Andalusian Lusitano type. But it was funny because I actually showed this summer against a woman showing an Andalusian stallion, and she asked me if he was a Welsh. And I had to laugh. I'm like, well, everybody else on the planet asked me if he's one of you guys, and you guys are asking me if he's something totally different. And I also get a lot of German riding pony.
Yeah.
So I get people who say, oh, what kind of warm blood is he? So there isn't really a set thing that they ask, but I would say the majority of it is they think he's some type of a Baroque Andalusian Lusitano cross. And then the other 50% think he's either warm blood or German riding pony and just smaller. Nobody ever guessed that he's a Mustang.
And do you think you're setting a trend? Do you find other people now are wanting Mustangs, or you're going to start seeing people wanting to adopt Mustangs because of Padre?
You know, I hope so. I know in my area, I've taken him to a couple shows, obviously. And in the last schooling show that I took a couple of my students to, there were actually two Mustangs showing. And I was so proud to see that other people said, hey, you know what, I got this little horse, why am I not doing this? Because Padre's had some success. He's been in our local Illinois Dressage and Combined Training Association newsletter a couple times. So his story is out there, so I know that he's inspired some people, at least locally. And through, obviously, the glory of the Internet that we have now with putting Padre's story out there, I have been so fortunate to receive emails from people all across the country and in Canada about how his story has inspired them, not only with their Mustangs to go out and try stuff that they haven't thought that was previously possible, but with all different kinds of horses. So I think his story doesn't just help Mustang people or people who are interested in Mustangs to think, hey, maybe I should look into adopting them or maybe I should try doing something, but I think his story really touches a lot of people who you know, he was the ultimate underdog. I mean, he came from the wild. The cost of horses that generally go to Devon is way more than the $125 that Doc would have originally paid for him. And I think his story's really given a lot of hope to a lot of people, and as well as inspired other people to look into adopting Mustangs.
Well, you know, we're talking to Patty Gruber, and we're talking about her horse, Padre the Mustang, which, by the way, I don't know if that was a nickname that just stuck, but it works. And you're a terrific, I got to say that you're a terrific representative to be representing Padre and Mustang because of your attitude and what you have done. You know, this whole Mustang issue is so polarizing. I can't tell you how many emails we get every week from both sides. And I don't even know this, you know, to be honest with you, I have sort of put my head in the sand on this topic because there's just been so much about it. And it's been the kind of thing that, you know, no matter how you approach it, somebody's mad at you. So, mm-hmm. you know, when we wanted to have you on because we felt that you just represented the best of what a Mustang can be when somebody takes the time and the effort to rescue one and to save one. So, you know, that's really why we wanted to have you on today.
Well, I really appreciate that. You know, I would love to see at some point in time all the Mustang groups come together and really try and make a difference. But it is hard because everybody has their different views on what's right and what's wrong. And the hard fact is that there is no right answer about what the best thing to do is. You know, and if a bunch of the big brains can all get together and come up with a better system than what's going on right now, you know, the ultimate winner would be the horse. You know, and it's people like me, and there's so many other people who have great Mustangs out there that if they spend the time to tell their story, it's just going to help that much more. And it's a position that I don't have to choose sides in. I didn't make the decision to take my horse out of the wild. I hope that people don't judge me because I have one, but I know that when I have him and everything that I do with him, I am doing the best that I can do by him, and I'm providing him with the best life he could possibly have if he's not out in the wild.
Well,
and I'm
thank
pretty
you
sure
so
with
much.
Padre, he wouldn't complain.
I don't think he would.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing what you do. And, we do have to keep in mind that the Mustangs, when they come out of the wild, are wild. So you had some experience with horses. It's not like you had this was the first horse you ever owned and worked with. So you had some experience with horses. And, of course, we do recommend if you adopt a Mustang, you get some professional help if you're not a professional yourself. But they can make terrific horses. And as you indicated, there are tens of thousands of them in pens right now waiting for adoption. So they're there. They're waiting. And if you feel that you have the education and the wherewithal to do that, they can make terrific horses. And Patty, you've proved that. And I think you're a terrific representative of the breed, whether you wanted to be or not.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I do encourage people to go out, you know, look through the pen, see what's out there, and really take the time to study the breed and work with someone who understands the breed. It's not every person that has the patience and the understanding to take something that's wild and will always have that wild instinct and learn how to work with it. It's always a relationship, and that's what you have to remember. You know, I look at Padre, and it's almost like dating. I have to be sensitive to his needs and sensitive to how he feels and not put him in situations that he's going to be threatened because I know that that instinct is always there. And Padre and I will keep continuing doing what we're doing as long as he's enjoying it and he's having a great time, and we'll keep to the variety and hopefully make people stop and think about, you know, these wonderful horses that they can go out and take out of the wild and provide amazing homes for and do anything that they want to do, from Western to jumping to dressage. The possibilities are just endless because these guys are so naturally gifted at doing everything.
Well, thank you. That's Patty Gruber, Padre the Mustang. Do you mind if we check in with you occasionally to see how he's doing and you're doing?
No, I would absolutely love it. Padre also has a fake Facebook page that you can keep
okay.
up with us on. It's got links to videos out there about him, and my email address is out there. Anybody who ever wants to get a hold of me, please feel free to. I get back to every single person who tries to get a hold of me. So I really appreciate you having us on.
And it's Padre Mustang Stallion on Facebook?
No, he's actually just listed as Padre.
Okay.
Or you can look up my name, Patty Gruber, and there will actually be a link to his site if you can't find it.
All right, yeah, I just found Padre's site. Okay, great. So we'll put a link to that in our show notes as well. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck this year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patty.
All right, that was Patty Gruber with Padre. That was fun. You know, she's such a terrific representative, too. Well, this song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, like vaccines, wormings, farrier, dentist visits, all of that together and easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events like vaccines and when your farrier's coming next. So it'll remind you. It's a terrific application for your iPhone. You can find them at pocketstable.com. It's only $3.99. You pay for more than that for a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and this is something that you'll have with you every day to help keep track of, I think it's up to 8 horses, and they're looking at expanding that now. So check out Pocket Stable on your iPhone, or just search for it in the App Store on your iPhone as well. Well, this next song is called, it's one of our favorites here on Horses in the Morning. It's called Barn Cat, and it's by Mary Ann Kennedy.
I'm a barn cat, not an alley cat, or a house cat. I don't sit in laps. I got a real job. I catch mice. It's a tough life.
I'm a boy.
Buy all the music from Templeton Thompson at templetonthompson.com or Marianne Kennedy at mariannekennedy.com. We encourage you to stop over there. They're kind enough to let us play all their music here on Horses in the Morning, so we'd appreciate if you'd stop on over and buy some of it for your iPod or for your CD player. We appreciate that. I am Glenn DeGeek, and I am here with my friend Samantha. It's so good to work with you again.
It's so good to be back, Glennie Glenn.
Well, you know, we are,
can you hear me?
It's been a while since we've actually worked together.
I know, since the World Equestrian Games, I think.
You know, it seems like this year went by, or 2010 went by so darn fast. We had spent 2 years doing that show, getting ready for the World Equestrian Games, doing the 2010 radio show, and then it seemed like that 16 days went by so fast, it was like over.
I know. I was sad to say goodbye to 2010, I have to say. But
yeah,
2011, I'm sure, will be fabulous.
Well, it's going to be fabulous because of our next guest is joining us. She's a regular here on Horses in the Morning, and her name is Jackie Baker. She writes the Regarding Horses blog, and she comes back with us once a month to do Baker's Blog Spot. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Samantha.
Jackie, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you also.
So you have something for us today about blogs, I assume?
We do. Two different things. A lot of the bloggers over the last couple of weeks have been doing a kind of 2010 year in review or writing up, you know, what they'd like to see happen in 2011. So I have two different things we could, two different routes we could go. One would be one of the last posts of 2010 that got some good discussion going called What Have You Learned About Your Horse's Former Life? Or we could kind of look at the year 2010 in review in the blog world, which would largely focus on World Equestrian Games because that was pretty much the most popular topic of 2010 across the board. So
well,
you
let's
tell
talk
me.
About this. Second one first. Let's take the popular topic.
Glenn always likes to do things backwards.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I figured Samantha would like that one. Yeah, it was a big year for horse bloggers. It was kind of cool to see the difference. When I first started my blog, one of the major things I covered was the Olympics, and at that time, nobody was doing it. You know, none of the other bloggers, none of them, you know, USEF or any of those major websites. But World Equestrian Games was so huge, and everybody was covering it, which was fantastic. And it was great because we had a lot of different bloggers covering it from a lot of different perspectives, which was very, very cool. So we heard from eventers, we heard from show jumpers, you know, we heard just from the average Joe who was going to the games, from some dressage riders, which was really exciting. So on Regarding Horses, we did a lot of coverage for the World Equestrian Games, including overviews of all of the disciplines and then some live event coverage. And I would say those were some of the most popular things. Obviously, Edward Gow and Totilas were really, you know, the big story of World Equestrian Games. So those were some of the most popular posts, which was very cool because I actually got to see them in person at the World Equestrian team Games when they won the team gold medal. And so I had some videos and some pictures, which was very cool. So that was pretty popular this year, probably of all of the World Equestrian Games stuff. I would say that kind of topped the list right there.
Now, you...
some other fun.
I would say that, you know, I think that blogs have really, and I want to get your opinion on this, I think this year is when equestrian or equine blogs have really come to the forefront, thanks to yours and to blogs like that Samantha works with, Eventing Nation, you know, and a couple of the others out there have really started to come to the forefront in the equestrian community where they've become sort of mainstream.
I totally agree. I think one of the big differences this year as opposed to past years with the equestrian bloggers is we have a lot of people now blogging who have a specific focus or direction or discipline that we're blogging about. In past years, it's mostly just been people who were, you know, writing training diaries of their own horses. There were very few blogs out there that were geared towards a specific audience. And now we have blogs like, you know, Eventing Nation and 3 Days Three Ways, which are both geared towards the eventing world. And while Eventing Nation is largely news, you know, there's a lot of fashion and interviews and stuff like that on 3 Days Three Ways. We've got Dapple Gray, who does all kinds of cool, you know, culture and products and things like that. And so we're seeing this really great emergence of all of these blogs with kind of these specific focuses like that in different areas of the horse world. And that's a fantastic way to do a blog, because that's the kind of stuff that people are most interested in.
And not even just to concentrate on the eventing, but if you look on, you know, useventing.com, they're now, you have to request your schedule, your omnibus, if you want a print version, and they're going now to 10 issues of their online version, their magazine online, which, and they do a beautiful job. I think, is it Josh Walker? Does a fantastic, is it Josh Walker? He does a fantastic job.
I believe so.
Jeff and Emily over there at USEA. It's Eventing Association. And you do, I got to say too, Samantha, you know, you're now delving into the world of blogging. You help out over there at Eventing Nation, and you take it a little bit different. And I think this is another place that blogs are going now is with video. And you've used your little flip cam to do some tremendous videos.
Me and my flip, and I'm actually going to go down this weekend to the Riders for Helmets symposium and do some stuff there for Lindsay.
Oh,
and
great.
And I did some stuff in England for Monty White, but I did some stuff for him when I was in England last time. He does the talkinghorse.net blog. So, yeah, I love doing stuff with my flip.
And, of course, we can't forget who came to the forefront, who we had on the show here recently, who came to the forefront doing video blogs in the World Equestrian Games all over the world was Hamish and Dave.
Hamish and Dave.
They would have never, you know, four years ago that would have never happened. You know, where today, because the horse community is so into new media now, and largely thanks to Facebook bringing that to the forefront too.
And video is a fantastic one, especially because everybody's using YouTube, which means, you know, for us as bloggers, it's very easy for us to go out and find this fantastic video content that Hamish and Dave and Samantha and other people are creating and post it on our blogs. So it's easy for them to get more publicity and views, and it's also easy content for us and a great way of sharing information.
Well, another one who's gone mainstream, who's not just horse, but the Pioneer Woman blog. She, you know, she's been Oprah and everywhere. She's taken a blog and really made it into a business like nobody else has. Now, you know, she's a little bit into horses and all of that. But if you haven't checked out the Pioneer Woman blog, you should. She, again, she's gone mainstream with that and become very popular.
Yeah. She does fantastic photography. She's published a cookbook. She's got another book that's coming out. She's been on the Today Show and every other morning show that exists, and she's a lot of fun. One of my all-time favorites.
And Jackie's stuck here with us, Samantha.
Oh,
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, Glenn.
Don't sell yourself short. Jackie, are you going to start thinking about the 2012 Olympics soon? I know you said you started off with
definitely. Oh, yeah. I've kind of been keeping an eye on things there. And one thing I've noticed is they're already doing a fantastic job of putting information out. I remember, you know, before the 2008 Olympics, I went looking for information. And on the main Olympic site, a month before the Olympics, I couldn't find anything about the equestrian events. If you go on the London 2012 site, they've already got sections for every event at the Olympics, including a separate section for each of the equestrian disciplines that'll be there. And so they're already starting to collect information, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, I look forward to
that. Getting ahead of the game, finally.
And what are your plans for 2011 regarding horses?
You know what, Glenn? I actually have one really exciting plan and series that I think will probably drive a lot of the focus of the blog for 2011, and I can't tell you.
Ah, oh, she's holding out on that, Samantha.
It'll come out at the perfect time. It'll probably be later this spring that it'll start, but I've got a specific
plan. It's only us here,
Jackie. That I think is going to be really
cool.
Can
you reveal it at Rolex?
Oh, yeah, I would venture to guess before then. We'll have
okay,
to see
well,
how
we're
it goes.
Gonna, you're keeping us
with,
she's teasing us. She's teasing
I
us.
I am. I'm not going to tell you.
Well, thank you, Jackie. We appreciate you joining us here and keeping us up to date on what's happening in the blogosphere, in the blog world.
Thanks. It's always good to be here.
We'll talk to you. Hey, so do you have I know you have an opinion about this, and I think we've talked about it before. Very shortly, we're going to be talking to Frankie, your friend, Frankie Lovato.
Aww,
and we're going
I
to be
Frankie.
Talking about we're going to be talking about Horse of the Year, and I assume that you feel like the rest of us that it should be Zenyatta and not that other horse.
Oh, of course. I think that's just a given.
I do, too. Well, thank you, Jackie. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jackie. Bye.
Well, you know, there was a article that came out in the Louisville paper here, and I was trying to find it, and I can't come up with it off the top. But it was their racing writer who had announced, remember, you probably saw this, she had said last week that she thinks, or she was going to vote for Blame to be Horse of the Year, but she was rooting for Zenyatta. Yet she's one of the voters, because that's voted on by basically the racing press, but she was rooting for Zenyatta. Well, she got so much flack from her listeners about this that she wrote another on the first, I think, and it's up in the Louisville Courier, and we'll put a link in our show notes. I just can't come up with it right now. She wrote about this, and she posted a bunch of the comments that she had gotten, and then she said she has until Tuesday, and that she's reconsidering now because of all the comments that she's gotten. That maybe, you know, she thought, and she said, we've always voted that Horse of the Year was the one with the best record that year. And she said, maybe we really, she finally is coming around to our side and said, maybe we really have to look outside of that and look at what the horse has done for the industry. And I'm going, duh, that's what we should be doing. That's the only way we're going to grow that industry.
Duh.
Yeah. You're
that's
speaking
my only,
to the
that's
quiet,
the only thing
then.
I have to say is, duh.
And we're going to be coming up with that here shortly as well. I have to ask you, though, Samantha, every day this time of the day, I pull out some news stories that I found, and I found a few over the weekend here. One on the racing front.
Not another rescue.
Oh, you know what? It is sort of like that, but it's about England. I have to ask you about it. The first one, though, is Rachel Alexandra, the other big horse who was the Horse of the Year last year, who is now planning to be bred to Curlin in 2011. And it will mark one of the rare occasions that a stallion and a mare that have both become Horse of the Year have been bred to each other. So that's one of the very few times that's happened, and that should make for an interesting pairing. 16 foals have been produced by previous matings of Horse of the Year winners, and 4 of those foals became stakes winners, and 1 became a champion. So they don't have a too bad a record by doing this, so it should be interesting to see what happens in the coming few years with Rachel Alexandra's and Curlin's baby and how well that baby does. But I found this article in England. I'm not sure where it was. I'm taking a look. Is it Hertfordshire Constabulary? Well, I can't say these English names. It's in Hertsmere, Broxbourne, East Herts, and Three Rivers, wherever that is in England.
I can't understand the word you're saying. Come on.
Well, what happened is the police apparently have been having a problem. They've had 50 incidents a month of horses straying into the public highway, and they have to go track them down, and apparently they hold on to them, and they take time during the day to find the owners and all of that. Well, now this has become such a problem, so they've set up a holding pen. So now they're going to bring the horses back to a holding pen, sort of like the Humane Society does with dogs when they find them, and that they're going to give the horse owners 15 days to come to the holding pen and claim their horses. Is there really that much of a problem with horses getting loose in England?
No, I never knew there was.
Apparently there is. 50 incidents a month.
First I've heard of it.
Apparently
I can tell you,
the towns of Hertzmere, Boxbourne, East Hertz, and Three Rivers, it is a problem.
Yeah, who knew? No,
They've been training their horses, they've been training their officers in horse wellness, welfare, and public safety because this has been such a problem, apparently, with horses wandering around loose. What kind of fencing is popular in England, or is it all different depending on the part of the country?
It depends on the countryside, but we have fencing like you do here. We have stone walls up in the north and down in the south, and it depends where you are, really.
Huh.
All sorts of different countryside. And then, you know, and that sort of defines the hunting country as well. Like if you go hunting in Leicestershire, it's renowned for its big hedges. And I actually went to the Boxing Day meet, which wasn't on Boxing Day this year because it was on a Sunday. And actually they didn't even hunt either because the weather was so appalling and the ground was so hard and snowy. But it was fun.
Did I hear they walked the hounds instead?
The hounds hadn't been out much at all because it's one of the coldest winters in 300 years, I think, on record. So, of course, that's the winter I was there, the Christmas I was there. But it's very traditional. The day after Christmas is Boxing Day, and they tend to have a big meet. And all the ponies and children have tinsel and decorations, and everyone meets either at the village pub or town square, and it's fantastic. So I went to that.
Well, that sounds great. And, you know, it's neat that you got to have a white Christmas, though, while you were there.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, I have found another story, too, and then we're going to get to Frankie Lovato here. We're going to talk more about Zenyatta and Horse of the Year. But I found this story, and if you're eating breakfast, I apologize in advance, but I don't know why I thought this was funny, but I did. It's not really funny. But Pamela and Bill Resch thought, and this is in San Jose, California, Pamela and Bill Resch thought a romantic horse-drawn carriage ride through downtown Los Gatos would be the perfect way to celebrate the holidays and their upcoming 42nd wedding anniversary. Another couple was late for the ride, so the Reschs took the opportunity to pose for pictures with the horses. Pamela Resch, an accomplished concert pianist, said she didn't panic at first when the horse named Tom started nibbling on her finger as she was petting him with the other hand on her head. Well, can we guess what happened here? Take a guess, Samantha.
I heard this. That's so horrible. Didn't it bite off her finger?
It bit off her finger. It apparently started to chew.
Man.
And it bit off her finger. Bit off the tip of her right pinky finger. And, of course, she went into shock and had, you know, went into hysterics because she's a concert pianist. And the one thing you kind of need is your finger. Well, they apparently found what was left of her, a little bit of her finger, and took her off to the hospital and fixed her up. And the carriage owner said he's never had a problem with this before, so it kind of makes you wonder if she had carrots for lunch or something, but or some bran mash, you know, was still on her fingers. So anyway, I just kind of found that story amusing for some reason, and I'm not sure why. I guess it's because that people don't know much about horses. They think it's like a dog. You know, most of the time you're not going to get bit if your hand ends up in your dog's mouth and you're playing with them and that kind of thing. But, you know, horses still are horses, and that's what happened. Apparently, I think from what I read at the end of the story is that I think she got fixed up at the hospital and things are going to be okay. But the carriage driver refused to comment. That was my weird story from the weekend. And now we're going to go to our friend Frankie Lovato, who we have on here right now. Hi, Frankie. How are you?
Good morning, Glenn. Happy New Year to
you. Frankie, saved by Frankie. Happy New Year.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi.
Samantha hates my stories of bitten off fingers.
We need a change of pace.
So bring in the punching bag, Frankie Lovato.
That's right. That's right, Frankie. So now we should hear next week about Horse of the Year, right? Isn't it usually next week we hear that?
It's generally sometime in January, and I'm guilty not knowing the exact date, but it should be very soon.
Okay. So I've been reading some of the articles that have been put out by the, and it's the racing writers and media that actually do the voting, correct?
Yes, their actual name, I guess, is the Turf Riders.
Okay, that group, I've been reading some articles. A lot of them have been publishing articles out of California, and of course here in Louisville, the one we just talked about. And they've been sort of saying, indicating who they're going to vote for. But I wanted to get your opinion on whether you think that they'll actually go for Zenyatta, or are they going to go for Blaine? What do you think is going to happen here?
Gosh, this is a very unusual situation. And with last year with Rachel Alexander and Zenyatta, that was interesting. And actually, I love Rachel Alexander, and she definitely is an amazing, amazing filly. But I was surprised that Zenyatta didn't get Horse of the Year last year. So with that being said, coming to this year, Zenyatta did more than prove her worth, her credibility, and it came down to this last race, and I don't know why the emphasis on winning the Breeders' Cup Classic is the decider, the deciding factor that I don't even contest it. I say Zenyatta. She's giving more to this game, not only this year. Last year, I wrote an article. Glenn, I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but
I did.
I think Zenyatta not only proved herself as far as ability-wise, but she brought something to this game that we make movies about. You know, like the Great Seabiscuit, or Secretariat, you know, or Ruffian, any of these horses, that she brought something to the game that rekindled this business and what fairy tales are made of. So her record's one thing, amazing, truly amazing. But she also stole our hearts. And for what it's worth, I said something in my article. I think if you say, okay, Horse of the Year, okay, they're pondering, it's not a done deal, and not to take anything away from Blaine, he is an amazing horse. But would you, let's take it to an extreme. What about Horse of the Decade, for example? Who would you think of? Can you think of a horse you would vote for Horse of the Decade? I think right now
Zenyatta's it. Yeah, she's it. She's the only one. You know, nobody's going to remember Blaine's name in 6 months.
The truth of it, that's probably, you know, very true. And he might become an amazing sire, and that might be what carries his name on. But I believe that he's done nothing in the sense to be immortalized like a great horse, like Secretariat or Citation or Seabiscuit, you know, and so on. I don't see it, like you said. So Zenyatta's done that.
And I think because Zenyatta had the consistency in the 19, you know, races that she won, it's like Cigar, that great long run that he had. People will remember that. And then the popularity and the charisma, that will live on and on and on, even if she doesn't go on and be a stallion. And like you say, that Blaine might be, that will live on as her legacy, I think.
Yeah, I see. Well, Zenyatta, I've been horse racing my entire life, and not only as a jockey myself, but my dad was also a jockey. So, I mean, I literally was watching races since I was 3 years old and knowing what it felt like to experience the experience. And, I mean, I got chills watching Zenyatta. And she made us crazy. She made those last-minute moves and just got up in time. But besides all that, she just kept doing it. And then with the emotions and tied into it and jockey Mike Smith, it was just, I mean, just an incredible moment in racing history that I think is going to be really tough to recreate for a very long time.
Yeah, and I think just the fact that she was a mare and the way she walked to the paddock, you know, pointing her toes and little special things about her like that gave her personality and made her so special.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she's one for the fans. I mean, she created fans. In the business, when you're in the business, I mean, those things, they're cute, yes, sure, whatever. I mean, I don't look at it that way. I mean, She's got cotton in her ears. They have to keep her quiet, relaxed. I mean, she did a little dance and stuff like that. To me, that really is not the essence of it, being from the inside of the business. You know, sure, the fans found that very adorable. But, it was her ability and the way she did it and her consistency that totally blew my mind. And as a jockey, I mean, you would love to make a connection with a horse, and you rarely have that opportunity. But we got to see that with Mike and Zenyatta and Mike Smith, the jockey, and it was just a beautiful thing all around.
Have you had the opportunity to talk to Mike since then? I know he took that so hard, the race where she lost to Blaine by half a nose. Have you had an opportunity to talk to him at all?
I haven't. I could pick up the phone right now. I wanted to leave Mike alone with that. You know, there's nothing. There's really nothing to say. I mean, and he took the blame. It wasn't his fault. He was riding that mare and trying to get her to pick up the bridle faster, earlier part of the race. And as a rider watching a rider, I mean, I can see. Oh boy, it's a bad situation. You don't want to ask her for a response before she's ready. You know, she is the queen. You give her the opportunity to get her feet up underneath her, and she came running. I mean, as a rider, you know, what can you do? I mean, you wish you can look back and, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, and if this and that and the other. And she did encounter some traffic, but I mean, there's horses that overcome a lot more traffic than that. She just didn't get there in time. And Blame was flying. I mean, he turned for home. He was a fresh horse. For her to make that run, to close up that ground, that was amazing.
Well, don't you think that's really what made Zenyatta a fan favorite, too, is she's the ultimate underdog. She came from last every single race and won them. I mean, it just, that's what was so incredible. You're right. It's the whole story, but it's also how she ran these races. If she had led every race, I mean, that would be something, too. But the fact that she came from last and would weave her way through traffic and get there, it just made for one heart-stopping. If I was the owners of that horse, I think I would have been in the hospital 10 times.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, Mike talked about, you know, how, for me, it's a jockey's nightmare. It's just a jockey's nightmare because you can't really rush her. You can't put her into the race. You can't sweep her off her feet. You can't. She's huge, so you can't, like, make these push-button sudden moves like you can with some smaller, more sports car-y type horses. Blaine being one of them. I mean, he's a horse that you can kind of throttle him, you know, or press the button, and you get instant acceleration. You know, it makes him more versatile, more easier to ride. But when you're given, like Zenyatta, she's a bit more complicated. And from a jockey standpoint, if she wasn't such the great Zenyatta, she'd be the kind of horse that I would really not look forward to riding. Because you got to overcome a lot of things. And she did.
I think, too, you know, I think sometimes the racing community, and I know that Samantha's been a little bit involved in the racing community, too, they overlook the fact that they've had a tough couple of years here. And, you know, with casinos coming in, and you know what, eventually these casinos are going to push out the tracks is exactly what's going to happen. So, you know, they have to reinvent themselves. And when you get horses like this, you don't beat them down by not giving them horse of the year. You build them up and you make her you make her the celebrity that the racing industry needs. But unfortunately, I don't think they need it like the rest of us think they need it. Does it make any sense at all, Frankie?
It does. You know what? When you were saying that, I was thinking about probably the worst thing that racing could do to its fans is not vote her horse of the year. It's the fans that they're wanting this. They're yearning for it. If they take that away from her, I really think that the industry is slapping the fans in the face. You know, and I mean, there is the Blame side. I wish they could give it to both of them. You know, if they could do such a thing, and I wish they had done that could do that last year with Rachel Alexandra and Zenyatta, because it would have created some relief here. But, I mean, I know that's not possible. But I really am afraid that if she doesn't get it, that there's going to be people that will turn away from racing and never watch another race for the rest of their lives.
Oh, no, Frankie. Well, you're our insider on the racing scene. Who's going to pick it up from Zenyatta, and who can we look forward to this year? Are there any hot tips for the Kentucky Derby, which is coming up? I saw on the Twitter there's only something like, not long at all, they said there was something funny like so many sleeps until the Kentucky Derby, or so many Saturdays to go, and it's coming up surprisingly soon now that we've turned to the first of the year.
Yeah, well, as we get into this next year, I don't know if I'm going to forget his name, and I'm really, really bad at this. Yeah, I'm insider, but I don't follow the daily gossip and racing. But there was the 2-year-old that won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and that's trained by Todd Pletcher, and I'm forgetting his name. I don't know, but I'm sure I'm going to know his name very soon. I'm not even up to date on who's training, doing what, who's getting ready. The preps are starting. As we get into the new year here, we're going to see, as we get closer and closer, there's going to be more hype on the prep races for the Kentucky Derby. And so I'll be a little bit more educated, perhaps, with some time. But there was a horse that Todd Pletcher won the Futurity with, the Breeders' Cup Futurity Juvenile.
Was it Grey Goose?
No. If you said it, I would probably remember it. But
do you go to the Derby, Frankie, or do you watch it on TV?
I'm a guy that watches it on TV. I've got a funny story. Everybody
in the house.
Oh, gotcha. You know, when you're in the business, it's not like it's kind of like saying, you know, going to the office. You know, and people say, "Well, are you going to go to the Derby?" It's like going to the office, and I'd rather watch it on TV, and I can hear all the scoop and listen to the commentators and the special stories. I love all that stuff. But as a jockey, I've ridden on Derby Day. I have not ridden the Derby. I'm very close many times, but I have ridden races on Derby Day there at Churchill Downs. And, boy, I tell you, there's nothing like beating the traffic. If I didn't ride there, if I didn't have to, I wasn't going to be there. I'd rather watch on TV.
All right, yeah. Great. Well, thank you, Frankie. We appreciate it when you stop by here and fill us in on what's going on in the racing world. And, of course, we might have you back here after the pick is announced, and we'll either all be celebrating and we'll all have a drink together here on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock somewhere, or we'll commiserate together and call the racing industry stupid, one or the other.
Well, I think we're all Zenyatta fans, so let's cross our fingers and hope that it turns out the way it's supposed to be. And again, nothing against blame. I think Zenyatta, horse of the decade. Come up with a new
Sorry,
category.
Frankie, well, if she doesn't win horse of the year, then we're going to start our own horse of the decade.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, Facebook page.
Like a plan.
Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you, Frankie.
Have a great day, guys. All right, bye-bye.
It's always nice to get Frankie's perspective on these things. He's a retired, but he still has a lot of friends in the industry and he keeps track of it. But he explains stuff so well, which is why I like having Frankie on. He's just good at explaining things.
Yeah, talk to him more about Derby Day next time. That would be exciting.
Yeah, we'll have him on,
and
of course,
hanging
back
out in the jockey's room.
You know, we should go record over there at Churchill for the morning show. What do you think on Friday?
Well, yeah.
Small plans.
Think small, as usual, Glenn.
Well, Samantha, this has been terrific. It's been so much fun having you on with us here. And I hope you come back again.
Yep, see you tomorrow.
And your plans this year, you're going to be working with Eventing Nation and traveling a little to shows and things. Is that what's coming up?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, good. Well, be sure to listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We are very excited to announce that we just went over 1,000 fans on Facebook over the weekend. So we're thrilled with that. And we thank
everybody.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. And we thank all the new listeners that are coming on board here at a rapid rate. And I wanted to say also that Helena and Jamie did a terrific job on the Hottest Horseman Show on Thursday. They did a wonderful job with that.
No, they didn't, Glenn. No, they didn't. You didn't win anything.
Why?
They rigged
it
completely. How could they? How could you not be horse husband?
I think it was rigged. I know. I think it was rigged too. Thank you for your confidence, Samantha. Next year, we'll make sure that you're the one voting.
Jennifer, you are surprisingly silent. Nothing there.
I'm staying out of it.
I have something special that I've put together for the end of the show here. And, of course, we'll be back again tomorrow morning. Jamie will be here. And we have a bunch of guests lined up that are really cool for this first week of January. You're going to want to be part of. We thank Omega Alpha for sponsoring this episode of Horses in the Morning. And we thank our guests for joining us today. What a terrific interview that was with Patty, all about Padre the Mustang. But I have something special that I thought we would put our vote in if anybody's listening that's out there that's going to be making a vote. This is why we think that Zenyatta should be Horse of the Year. Bye, everybody. Bye, Samantha.
Bye, Glenn.
Kicked into gear, and here she comes, right on by. Zenyatta suddenly two in front. Here's the real Zen Master, and she's won 11.
Continues to come at them stride for stride. Lethal Heat holding on to it, though. Lethal Heat, another's creation. Zenyatta. And now going to come to the outside, and Mike Smith takes dead aim on the leaders and asks Zenyatta to go, and just look at her go. Zenyatta strikes the front, just playing with him here. He is going back and forth, and it's Zenyatta, Lethal Heat running on at the rail, but Zenyatta with condescendingly. Summer Bird in the red cap cross as Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Conti on the inside. Summerbird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Back to my tune. Zenyatta now just looking at Udo. Zenyatta is playing with them. Yet another unbelievable winner. If you don't have goosebumps right now, you don't like horse racing.
They're coming home under a hand ride. It is Mike Smith and Zenyatta in a triumphant return to Oakland. She wins the Apple Blossom Invitational by 3.5. Cam second. Be fair, third.
Coming to the 16th hole, St. Trinian, all out. Zenyatta.